Hello and welcome to the Groovy Uncle podcast presented by me, Glenn Prangnell. In each episode, I feature the work of some of the most prolific artists, writers and musicians from Medway and beyond, and much more.
You're listening to the Groovy Uncle podcast.
Now, a few days ago, the tables were turned when I recorded an interview with my good friend Jonathan Ash for his cloud-based radio show at Medway Pride Radio. Jonathan wanted to know all about the new album, New York Letters.
So, as I said at the beginning of the show, we have got a wonderful interview now with a very wonderful person. So, welcome, Glenn Prangnell.
Hello.
Hello.
Ash, how are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm very all right. It's lovely to see your smiling face there as well.
It's good to see you anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Well. It's been quite a while, hasn't it, since we've had an opportunity to...
Isn't it? It's been weird time. So, it's nothing personal. I haven't seen anyone, so...
Yeah, that's nothing to do with the pandemic at all. That's just because you've been feeling antisocial, isn't it?
Exactly. You know what I'm like.
Anyway, rather than do a whole, psychotherapy session together, you're here...
Again, I know,
happens usually with alcohol, but there we go. So we're here to talk about your new project, which is The Vague Ideas. But before that, just so that the listeners are aware of some of the stuff you've done before, you may well know Glenn Prangnell from a number of the Medway bands he's been in, and I'm not going to get a whole list through, but the ones that I think, spring to mind are The Offbeats, Craven A's, and, of course, most recently, the Groovy Uncle project, which, your last album was actually recorded during lockdown, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That was Searching for the Grown-Ups, which that's the first time I've done a homemade album. That was, it was a case of having to do it that way because of the situation, as we all know. We all know what the situation was, and I did sort of think, well, how am I going to record? And then, I can't go in the studio, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe I'll try and do something at home. But then I didn't really have the technology. So I invested in that. I looked into that and got some stuff, got a new bass, got a keyboard and added to my collection of instruments and thought, right, I'll have a go at doing something at home. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It'd still be something that will amuse me during lockdown. So even if nothing comes out of it, it'll still be, a learning curve and it'll be a bit of fun. But I ended up actually doing an album, and that was Searching for the Grown-Ups. That was last year. And so that was, how many is it? Nine Groovy Uncle albums.
I was trying to count and I somehow got to 10. So I must have just double counted.
Yeah, I think this latest one is 10. Well, it's not Groovy Uncle, but it's... Groovy Uncle started releasing records in 2010. The first release was a single. And the first album came out in 2011, Play Something We Know. So we've done, in total, I think it's 9 albums and 5 singles.
Right,
Since 2010.
So, of course, the work that you've done for Groovy Uncle was to do with being very, very collaborative. So it wasn't a band. It was actually musicians that came together, and it changed for each of the albums. And of course, that's something that you've taken on for this new project as well, but in a slightly more global scale as well. So, can you just tell us about this new Vague Ideas album? Just give us a sort of, quick introduction to it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, it is quite a long story. So, but I was approached last year by a songwriter and scriptwriter, Mayor Roselle, who lives in Philadelphia. And she knew about Groovy Uncle. She knew my stuff going back years, but we'd never met, never really spoken to her before, but she knew about Groovy Uncle, and she just contacted me to talk about play she was writing. She'd written a script for, and she'd written the lyrics of the songs that were going to be in this play, a musical play.
Right.
Which was based on the last 9 years of the life of John Lennon. So when he was in New York at the time, she'd done the script and the lyrics, as I say, and she was working with a musical partner, John Stevens. He was writing the music.
Right.
And she contacted me saying two things. One, there was a talky bit in the play. There's a bit of narration.
Yeah.
And she'd been listening to my podcast and said, would you do it? Would you read it? Because we want a British voice on it. You don't want an American to do it.
Right.
So I said, okay.
Yeah.
So it was only a couple of paragraphs. Mm-hmm. And so I said, So I'm doing a bit of acting here. so that was something I'd not not done before. But and then I said, you know, do you want me to do an accent, as it's meant to be the voice of John Lennon?
I'm so glad you said that, because when I was listening to the album, I was like, okay, I can't work out whether that was actually you or you managed to phone up
or John Lennon.
I was actually thinking Roger McGough, but yeah.
So
that was you, yeah?
That was me. So wow. I said, do you want me to read it in a... It won't be a John Lennon impression, but it'll be a Northern, to give the impression of a Northern accent, rather than an American trying to do a Northern British accent. So
we don't get a repeat of Bram Stoker's Dracula, you mean?
Exactly. I recorded that, and she was pleased with that. And while we were discussing this... I told you it was a long story, didn't I?
That's fine, because we've got a bit of a longer bit afterwards to carry on the story as okay. well.
While we were discussing this about the talky bit, she then sort of tentatively said, if you wanted to chip in with any ideas, musical ideas, that would be great, because I really like your stuff. And I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to get involved in that. I don't know. Not because I thought it was a bad idea, but I just thought, I've never done a collaboration before. I don't know if I've got the skill to do it. I've no idea. I didn't want to start making promises about, oh yeah, I'll do that. So I just sort of said, oh, I'll have a think. And then she sort of a couple more emails, and she said, it'd be really nice if you've got any songs or anything you want to chip in. So as it happened, it was a coincidence. I have a song lying about that had been around for years called Just Lately. So I took that song and I said, thinking, oh, this will keep her quiet. I thought, she'll be happy with this, and then we can all get on with our lives. So I sent Just Lately a demo of it, thinking, it's a bit Lennon-y. It might fit in with the play if she doesn't want it, you know.
So had you already written the lyrics for that kind of thing?
That song is entirely me. That's words and music. There's two on the album, which are words and music by me. Right. And that was the first song I sent to her, and said, well, you can have this for your play if you want.
Wow, okay.
And then about an hour later, she messaged me back and said, I absolutely love it. That is exactly what the sort of thing I want for this play. Do you want to do some more? Please do some more. So I was still kind of thinking, I don't know if I want to do a whole thing, you know. And it wasn't going to be an album at this point. It was just a play. I said, okay, I'll see what I can do, but I'm not making any promises, because it might not work. It might just be embarrassing and awful. I think at that point I sent a second song, which was the Something Will Happen, which is because I was looking through the script and I noticed there was no reference to Paul McCartney in the play as far as a song is concerned. So I thought I'll write a song as though it's Paul McCartney writing to John Lennon. I think that was the second song I sent. She absolutely loved it. And she said, oh, you've got to be involved in this. So after I'd sent the two songs and she was really pleased with them, Mel went quiet for a little while, and I thought, oh, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then she one day sent me an email saying that her songwriting partner, the guy who's writing all the music, died. He died suddenly.
I was going to ask you, because you mentioned his name earlier, didn't you? And I was going to ask about that. Yeah. That's it. My goodness.
And he just died suddenly.
Wow.
So then it was all up in the air about... Because the play originally was the whole concept idea was his. He asked her to write the script and write the lyrics. And he died suddenly. So for a while, we didn't know whether it was going to go ahead or it was out of my hands. So I sort of forgot about it for a while. Mayor got back in touch with me and said, no, it's okay, we can go ahead. So I then sent a few more ideas, and she said, look, what I want to do is start again. You to do the music. I've got the lyrics and the play. If you're up for it, let's do it. So I said, okay, I'll be involved. I'll do my best. There was always the caveat of, I might not be able to do all the songs you want me. It might not work. I'm not going to make any big promises. I'll have a go and do what I can. As it turned out, it was okay. You know, I did all the songs. And bearing in mind, when I got involved, this was all going to be for the play. There wasn't an album involved at this point. It was going to be let's do a play and then we can release some music from it, you know. And then it was just a case of, well, no, let's sod it, let's do an album, because the songs are coming along so well, because everything I sent her she really, really liked. So at this point they're all in demo form. Obviously we didn't have the idea of how we were going to do it musician wise or whatever, so that's how I got involved.
Can I just ask a little bit about that as well? Because one thing we haven't spoken about is, of course, the actual recording of the album across the Atlantic kind of thing, isn't it? So you obviously had a number of different musicians involved, very similar to how you've worked with Groovy Uncle, well, with one exception, is that you're going across continents this time. So,
well, it wasn't even that in the end, because I spoke to Mira about this. Well, I said, how are we going to do the album? I can't go and do a studio. I can't do it like Groovy Uncle thing where I just get a bunch of people and we go in the studio because of the COVID thing and whatnot. So she said, well, would you do it? Because initially it wasn't going to be me singing. I was just writing the music. I wasn't necessarily going to be involved in the recording. So then Mayor said, well, are you able to do it at home? Because the demos are really great. Can you do the singing? I said, okay, I'll do the singing. And I said, okay, I'll do the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll play the bass. But I sort of said I'd like to have a proper drummer if possible, which she wanted anyway.
Right.
And she knew a drummer. He's an American drummer, but he actually lives over here.
Oh, right. So, okay.
Yeah. He's a really good drummer, Chuck Sabo. And we did a couple of Zoom meetings and he played drums. So basically it's him playing drums and me doing everything else. We did get Tom Morley on trumpet on a couple of tracks.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
But essentially it worked out. And I said, if this works, if it's okay, then yeah, let's try it. It might work. And it did work. And Chuck was really good. And I did the demos, played to a click track, sent them to him. He put the drums on, then I built it up from there.
So the other thing I was going to ask you as well, Glenn, is, am I right in saying this is the first time that you've taken someone else's lyrics? Because obviously with Groovy Uncle, you've written the lyrics pretty much every time. So for this one, that was quite a major difference in your songwriting, wasn't it? The fact that you already had it.
Yeah, I mean, with the Groovy Uncle thing, there were a couple of exceptions on Medieval Britain album where couple of other songwriters contributed their ideas. I've never sat down and written music to someone else's lyrics before, which is why I was a bit reticent about committing to it, because I didn't know that I could do it. It's all right, Sam, well, you write songs, you'll be able to do it, but it's not, you work in a different way. And so on the back of that, the thought of working in a different way immediately made me think, well, how about I go really crazy and try to write a lot of it on piano? But I'm not a piano player. I can barely play piano.
Right. Yeah.
But I thought, to make me play, write stuff on the guitar, that's what we're familiar with, but you can fall into a bit of too much of a comfort zone, and everything, you go through the same old chords and the same old thing. Whereas on the piano, particularly because I don't really know what I'm doing, I was playing chords. I don't know what that is, but that sounds good. Yeah, I'll use that. And I just found it interesting because I was thinking, this sounds good, you know. It's nothing earth-shattering, but for me it was a different experience, and I'm coming up with different ideas. And again, because I'm playing a character, you know, trying to be John Lennon, I'm thinking, what would he do? He'd like to do a descending piano bit there and a bit of a sweet bit there and an angry bit there. And I was just trying to get into the character. I'm sounding really pretentious now, but that's what I was...
I've got now in my head the Ruttle song, Living in Hope. That's what I've got, just because of you two on the piano. So I do apologise for that.
it was good, because it was a challenge for me, which is always makes life slightly frustrating, because you think, I wish I could play the piano better. I wish I wasn't so rubbish. But it pushed me a bit, and ultimately that's a good thing. But I found it, and most of the songs, apart from a couple, were all written on piano, and I can't believe that now. I'm not a piano player. That's another reason it worked. I've said this to Mayor, that my theory on it is, because this is a Lennon thing, and I'm sort of essentially trying to be John Lennon in this. Yes. John Lennon was not a good piano player, but he just had this, he could play, but he wasn't great. So I'm thinking, that's probably why it works, because I'm not a piano player. I'm not a great piano player either. You've got to have good melodies, because otherwise this is just a bloke plonking on the piano. So you've got to have something good on the top of it. And, you know, I can do that. I'm good with melody, but I'm not good at the old instrumental part of things.
I'd like to sort of talk a little bit more about the concept of the letters themselves. But I think it'd be really good after that introduction if we hear a song from the album. Now, I've said to you if you'd like to choose a couple of songs from the album. So can we have the first track from the album then, please, Glenn?
Yeah, the one I've chosen is called Nixon's Listening, which is supposedly Lennon on a drunken evening with Ringo and Harry Nilsson sitting around getting drunk and high and writing this song to Nixon, who Lennon had a lot of problems with, the FBI were bugging him and all that. And it's meant to be kind of a drunken, jokey thing, but with a bit barbed as well, you know, a bit of anger. So Mayer sent me the lyrics, and I imagined this party going on and put this tune to it. And the only bit was missing that I added to it was, I thought it needs a bit of a Harry Nilsson in there doing his...
Right.
So it's just that, the intro bit where he says 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, that bit.
Right.
That's the sort of thing that Harry Nilsson would chip in with, and then Lennon comes in with the singing.
That makes a lot of sense now, actually, that first bit as a Harry Nilsson. So, yeah.
I mean, that wasn't there in the original lyrics. Now, I just put that in. I thought it needs Harry's stamp in. I can't sing it. No one can sing like Harry Nilsson. But I thought you can get an idea. So that's Harry. In that bit, and it's Nixon's Listening.
Yep, here we go. And this is Nixon's Listening by The Vague Ideas. Nixon's Listening by The Vague Ideas, and we've got Glenn Prangnell in the studio at the moment, and he's telling us about this brand new album, which is called New York Letters. And Glenn, just wanted to ask you a little bit more about that title. Why is it called New York Letters?
Simply because the play, which was written first before there was any idea of an album, is based around the life of John Lennon in the last 9 years of his life in New York. And John Lennon was an avid letter writer. He was always sending out postcards and letters to friends, family, newspapers, the NME, Rolling Stone. He was always doing that, and you know. And so Mayer had the idea of the play should be kind of based around the story of his life at that time.
Yeah.
But based around the letters that he was sending and receiving. So how she did it was the letters are the songs. So you've got the script of the play and the story around it. And then every time there's a song, it's because he sat down to write a letter or he's reading a letter or it's a message to friend, family, whatever.
So some of the songs have got a two-way. There's like the reply within the song as well, isn't there, for some of them?
Yeah, so you've got... you've got like Nixon's listening. That's where they sat down. We're going to write a letter to Nixon. You've got a letter to his first wife, Cynthia, which is called I Had to Go. You've got a letter to his aunt, Mimi, in Liverpool. Or well, she wasn't in Liverpool then. She was living down in Dorset, I think. But, you know, she was the woman that brought him up. And he always kept in contact with us. And that's a letter from Mimi to John. But they both sing it. I mean, although on the record it's me singing it, but you can imagine it in the play where she's singing her line and he's sitting there reading it and singing his bit. And there's a letter to Yoko and May Pang and Julian. It's all the friends and family and associates and enemies in Nixon's case.
Yeah.
But it's all based around these letters. And so that's why the album's called New York Letters.
Did you get a chance to look at the original letter? Because I know that you had the lyrics, but did you want to go sort of slightly deeper into that to give you an idea of what you were trying to achieve on the album?
Well, the letters, that's another thing that should be emphasised. The letters themselves aren't actual letters that Lennon wrote. Mayer's written an imagination of what he would have written based on facts.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So
yeah,
so right. it's all stuff we know, that contacts he did have with people and things he did say, but we didn't take them from directly from real letters. It's a kind of imagining of what he would have said in those letters. So there is, you know, there's that kind of artistic, poetic license, whatever you want to call it, where it is just an imagining. And I want to stress that, really, because rather than people think, well, this isn't factually correct and that can't be right, how do you know that? Well, it's a play, you know, and it's based around what we think he may have written or said. And there are one or two things in there we know he did say and do or whatever, but, you know, it is kind of an imagining.
So are you telling me that Lennon didn't actually write all his letters in poetry form?
I wouldn't know. I've not seen them.
Okay. No, that's fair enough, though. So that will remain an enigma. What you were given then were the lyrics that had been written, and your task was to put music to it that went with the sort of concept of the play. So how did you go about trying to find, obviously, you know, it's very much a Lennon and Beatles style that you have worked with. And it's, you know, if you don't mind me saying, I think it's an absolutely beautiful love letter to the styles of, you know, Lennon and McCartney's writing. And you said that little bit of Harry Nilsson. That comes across so beautifully. And I have to also mention, you know, because Revolution Number 9 is one of my, you know, my jolly Beatles songs. And I love the prelude.
I wondered when you were going to mention that.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely brilliant, because it works so well. And it works so well as an introduction to the next track as well. You know,
it's unashamed. It's meant to be. I mean, this was the thing about it. When I came to doing it, I said to Mayer, it's going to have to be, because it's very specific. It's about John Lennon and that time. And we're making this record that's definitely Lennon, you know, so it's going to be, it's going to be an impersonation, not too much of an impersonation. You don't want it to be cartoony. I don't want it to be like, it's kind of got to be respectful. It's more about getting the spirit of, oh, imagine if you'd done this and it might have sounded a bit like this, rather than, oh, that doesn't really sound like him, because not all of it sounds like John Lennon.
No, it's
at all. Yeah. But you've got the kind of character, if you like. You've got the spirit of it, I think, in there.
I think that works really, really well. And as I say, I think, you know, it does, as you say, respect very much and not try and emulate the style, because this is something...
I didn't want it to be a joke, you know. It's not meant to be a joke. I mean, people can laugh. You're allowed to smile, like you say, with certain things, isn't it? Like the obvious homage to Revolution 9.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that. And it's meant to make you smile and it's meant to make you chuckle a bit, but not in a kind of disrespectful way, if you know what I mean.
It works really well, thinking about the way that John Lennon spoke. I mean, this is, you know, I think that, you know, you can hear John Lennon's turn of phrase, that kind of cheekiness in the way that the lyrics have been written in certain places as well. So again, it's certainly not a joke. There are light-hearted moments, and I think that works really well because that's exactly how he used to work, isn't it?
It was, yeah. And I mean, it was just like trying to get characteristics, like in the song Letter from Mimi, Always Good to Hear from You. There's just that little bit in it where he's, where the line goes, the line ends on the word me, and the rhythm of it is that you go me, me, which of course is her name.
Brilliant, yeah.
But instead of doing it, instead of singing it, he just goes me, me, you know, which is what he, the way he would have spoken, you know. So just those little tiny things that maybe people that won't even pick up on, but I know they're there. You know, it's the same as the letter, the message from Paul. Something will happen. That's the one.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. On Something Will Happen, where there's lots of references there that if you're an ardent Beatles fan, you'll get. And if you're not, you just think, oh, that's a nice little song. But there are loads of references in that that people will recognise.
Yeah.
I won't go through them all because no one will be interested. But if you're a fan, you'll get it. And if you're not, you'll just say, oh, that's a song.
Brilliant. And actually, talking of which, we got a second song for the album now.
Well, the song I've chosen is the final track, No More Crying, which is a message to Paul. Now, this is set right at the end of the play. It's just after John Lennon was killed. McCartney went straight back in the studio and he recorded a song called Here Today, which is like his tribute to John, which was later on the Tug of War album. And it's a lovely song, which a lot of people know. He still does that live occasionally, I think, Here Today. Yeah. And it's very moving sort of tribute to John. And in the play, you've got McCartney in the studio and he's just recorded it and he's in the playback room and he presses play. And instead of Here Today coming back, he looks through the glass and he can see John singing this song, No More Crying. And it's John's reply to Here Today.
Brilliant. So we're going to listen to that now. From the album New York Letters, this is The Vague Ideas.
Another man shows no affection. Another man don't cry. But if I I wouldn't mind.
We've just listened to No More Crying by The Vague Ideas from their album New York Letters, and we're talking about that album and other plans as well with Glenn Prangnell. So, Glenn, we were talking quite a lot about the fact that it started off as a play and it then became the album before the play. So can you tell us a little bit about what the future plans are for the play?
Well, at the moment, as far as it stands, is I think Mayor's still going to go ahead with at least attempting to get the play staged. I hope she does, because I think it'd be really good. Last time I spoke to her, she was really keen to, now we've got the album out, you know, really keen to steam ahead with trying to get a play. But that's more her department, because that's, you know, that's her thing. I know nothing about putting on a play, but obviously I've written the music for it now. So,
yeah.
And I've said anything you want to do with it. You know, and I said, hopefully, if you get as far as getting something together and you're working on a stage play, you know, feel free to change, to adapt it for the stage, you know.
Yeah,
so, because I think some of them would be better with, you know, like the Mimi song, if it needs to be a duet for purposes of this album. It's just me singing the songs. But
it's a little bit like this, you know, the Sondheim versions on record of, let's say, West Side Story or something like that.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, what it was and has been changed each time that it's been put on. So it's that flexibility within the music, isn't it?
And I'm up for that. Just do what you want with it, you know. Yeah, and I think it may have been quite useful doing it this way around, having the songs there, they're out, there you go, there's the album, so that you can immediately play it to people and say, when they say, well, what songs have you got, well, there you go, there they are. I'd like to see how they're going to do the prelude though.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. lots of swirly lights, I'd say. But
I didn't tell you about the prelude. Yeah, the prelude was, as I say, about the talky bit. I did the narration bit. It was just going to be that.
Oh, what, without any of the background stuff?
It was going to be like with the drums going on and with me talking. That talky bit was recorded, and it was can just be that. And it was my idea to do the Revolution 9 thing.
Right.
Because I just thought if it goes from a song just to the talky bit, it's a bit too stark. It cuts off from the music to someone talking.
Yeah.
I thought it needs something to lead up to it. Like, you know, so there's this image of maybe John drinking too much and going a bit to the Lost Weekend thing.
Yes.
But kind of going back to 68, to the White Album and that swirling craziness, you know, it's kind of like trying to be in John Lennon's head while he doesn't know what's going on, you know.
Which so, it's in the middle of the album as well, which works absolutely perfectly as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, if it was on vinyl, it would be like the last track on side one. But it was just an idea. I thought maybe we can do a Revolution 9 thing. So Mayer didn't know about that until I sent it to her and said, how about this? But I had great fun doing that, because you can do just whatever you like. And I thought, if it's just silly, we won't do it. But as it turned out, she absolutely loved it. So that was the prelude bit.
So let's move on to Glenn Prangnell now. So, you know, you've had this very new way of working while you were doing this album, and you've done this very different project. What next for you?
Well, I'm always thinking about what next. Whenever I finish a record, I'm always thinking, well, what next? And every time I think, I don't know. I don't know what's next. But I've learned to accept that that's how I always feel. I've never have any grand plans about what's going to, but there always seems to be something that happens, as the song said. And it happened with when I did the last album, Search of the Grown-Ups, last year, when I'd finished that. And I was, what next? But nothing planned. And then an email drops in from Mayer, and it's like, oh, I'm doing that now, am I? Okay. There always seems to be something comes along. And it's the same with songwriting, because, and I've been like this since I was, you know, young and first started songwriting. I every album that I've made, and I'm serious, every record I've made with any band I've been in, when we finished it, I've always thought, that's it now, I haven't got any more songs, I've got no ideas at all. And then suddenly there's, oh, I've got this idea, and I'm writing it down and recording demos, and oh yeah, that's good. And before I know it, I seem to have got a dozen songs, or at least a dozen ideas for songs, and I'll start building it up, and before I know it, I'm thinking, right, let's go in and do an album. But I never take it for granted. I always think that what I'm doing now is going to be the last thing. I just always think because I don't get cocky and think, well, I'm going to do another record. Because when you get like that, it's probably not going to happen. So I always treat it as, well, that's it, I'm done now. I'm going for a lie down in a dark room. And and it's while I'm lying down in the dark room that suddenly the ideas come. And, oh, yeah, I could do that. That's good. So
that's a really good way to be, though, isn't it? You know, so you're not like sitting there going, right, I will now do this, this, this and this. It's kind of something's going to come along.
I never sweat over it. And if nothing happens, that's fine. I'll go down the pub.
I'll need to talk to you about that later as well. So,
yeah. so no plans, but
yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't mean it's over.
No.
Anything could happen.
Yeah. And one of the other things you have been doing, as well as the music, of course, is the series of podcasts that goodness me, how many episodes are we on now? Is it 20 something?
No, 30 something.
Is it? Oh my goodness. Right.
You've missed a few.
I have missed a few. I've got quite far behind with them. I think I'm on something teen at the moment, to be honest. Yeah.
But I mean, I've been trying to set up a few more, and I must do one with you actually. And recently I've organised things with some interviews with people, and then for various reasons it hasn't happened, so I'm a bit behind at the moment. I will be getting back into it, so I really enjoyed doing that. As much as I've sort of nattered on today, I much prefer listening to other people and what they're doing. And then it's good because I edit me out and it's just them talking. I much prefer that.
I wanted to ask you, we've talked about all of it. We talked about, you know, Groovy Uncle. We talked about Vague Ideas. We've talked about these podcasts as well. So the last thing I'd like to ask you is, you know, how can we get hold of all this stuff, Glenn?
Well, the new Vague Ideas album, if you're in America, I recommend you order the album from the Vague Ideas Bandcamp, which is vagueideas.bandcamp.com, because that's Mare's page and she'll be shipping the albums from America. So if you're in America, order it from there. It's better than ordering it from me here in the UK. If you're in the UK, I would order it from the Groovy Uncle Bandcamp or the Groovy Uncle website, which is groovy-uncle.co.uk. It's also on my Groovy Uncle Discogs. It's available there as well. As far as the podcast is concerned, that's Podbean. So it's the Groovy Uncle podcast. You'll find it on the internet. Yeah, so Groovy Uncle podcast at Podbean.
And of course, you've got a lot of the back catalogue stuff on your Groovy Uncle Bandcamp page as well.
Yeah, most of the back catalogue stuff is there on the Groovy Uncle Bandcamp and the Groovy Uncle website. You know, there are one or two things that are out of stock, but you will find plenty of stuff there to peruse.
Thank you so much, Glenn. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always, to talk to you and find out about, you know, this new project you've been part of as well.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And you've chosen a song to finish. So what have you chosen, and can you tell me why?
Well, I thought, as we've been talking about Lennon a lot for obvious reasons, I thought I'd go with a John Lennon track from the Double Fantasy album called I'm Losing You.
Thanks again, Glenn. And here is John Lennon with I'm Losing You.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to my podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks to Jonathan Ash at Medway Pride Radio for inviting me to chat about the new album. I hope you join me next time for the Groovy Uncle podcast.